course, make yourselves comfortable and have some tea if you like. I just want to thank you for being here and your support for Ordinary Zen Saga. So, you know, this couldn't happen without it. So thank you very much. We say that Zen is before thought. Already you see, already you hear. Before you say, I see, I hear. So these words and phrases are like an ox's footprints. If you follow the footprints, you'll find the ox. Likewise, if you follow these words and phrases, you'll find the meaning. So the ox represents our original nature. And meaning refers to just this. Now, if you're attached to words and phrases by giving them your own meaning through your judgments, good, bad, right, wrong, yes, no, then it's like trying to follow the footprints of an elephant through the sky. So in Zen, we say, don't know. What else can I say? I do have something on my mind, though. It's about nonviolence. We are all violent. Our anger and our thoughts of being right and being upset with how things are. We're not following the footprints of the ox. Instead, we're following the footprints of an elephant through the sky. When you find yourself experiencing anger, be very careful. There are so many examples of how that leads to great destruction, not just yourself, but others. When an animal eats its prey, it's not angry. When an animal defends itself, it's not coming from anger. If you're a student of martial arts, you understand that anger has no place in defending yourself. It's about being present. What's being present? It's not getting caught up in the impressions from your perceptions that you're attached to, through your memory and your history that you think are real. When we sit and meditate, we're getting to know ourselves, just this. I was at dinner with some friends last night. Conversation turned towards violence in terms of being angry and driving and road rage. And a friend of mine told a story about when he was a young man and he got really angry because a bunch of kids in a Corvette got next to him and vroom, 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 in front of him and then slowed down like 5 miles an hour. And in his mind, he just pictured, you know, I'm going to ram him in the back And when they come to my car, I'm going to slam my door open and kill them. He actually started to follow through on all that. Only he couldn't get his seatbelt open. So the guy reached in the window and pummeled him. Now, if it was today, there would probably be guns involved. You know, this deluded view that is prevalent. Be very careful not to become part of that. It's not helping. It's based on these perceptions of impressions that are based on a deluded view. It's looking at a mirage and thinking it's real. What we do here is important because it's waking up to reality the way it actually is, not the way we think it is. So anger is a lesson, you know, it's something that can teach us. And I experience anger all the time. I'm sure you all do. But, you know, just stop, take a breath, just like you do when you're sitting. And you come back. You know, you come back to the still point and you just drop it. When I see a documentary about a lion eating a baby ox, I don't see anger and hatred and things that us humans propagate. I see a whole different process there. Something very natural, forgiving, honest, real about what's happening there. It's not put on. It's not made up. It's not something that we add to it. Our thinking, 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 we add something to it and we make a judgment about it. We say, well, that's right, it's wrong. All problems can be solved when they're small. This moment, this is where it's happening. Before the guy reaches in the window and smacks you in the face. That was really crazy. There was another story. And this one was even more disturbing. A friend of mine, he says, yeah, I have a gun. I don't have any bullets for it, but it was my grandfather's. You know, it was from the Spanish-American War or something. And my grandfather used it one time. He said there were these bad guys. They were going to rob the bank, this little town. And all these vigilantes got together. They recognized that these guys were going to rob the bank. Well, the bank was closed at noon. So the bank robbers couldn't go in and rob the bank. So they went, had lunch and got drunk. Then they come back to rob the bank. This is the way the story went. I don't buy it, but this is the story. And so, but the grandfather was waiting for him in the bank. And when they tried to rob it and leave, he shot them both and killed them. So the way the story was told was really disturbing to me. Any life taken is just not justified for me. I think in every situation, there's something else that could have happened than that. Didn't have to go that way. It's about this, you know, it doesn't have to go this way. There are alternatives to how things are, and we can make it happen just one step at a time. So we can be nonviolent right here, right now. I don't understand people that celebrate violence. It's not something to be celebrated. That's what was on my mind. What's on your mind today? It's all yours now.
I watched a video yesterday that kind of threw me for a loop a little bit in talking about violence. It was a video of, the story went of a woman was took her daughter into the restroom to use the pee. And there was another woman, the video started, and another woman was who was a little disturbed, was coaxing the little girl out, almost like trying to kidnap her. And the woman's like, get away, get away, get away. And then the woman wouldn't leave. And then the mother put an absolutely insufferable beating on her. Like,
did what?
Insufferable beating. Like the mother put an armless woman. And it was like, and it went on and on and on. It was such a violent video. Don't even ask me why I was watching this, but I was, and it made me think. I was being like there was a moment where I was like, now it's crossing the line, because this woman was warning her, and she was trying to kidnap her daughter, right? And you say violence is not the answer, but I was like saying, like, okay, so when does it shift, right? When does it become too much? I'm sure there's legal answers for this. But it was one of those things where I remember I was being like, my first reaction was, oh, this woman, she deserves this. And then there was a moment where I was like, I don't think she deserves this anymore. And it was a very interesting, was watching my own shift in the video, of watching my shift between like, this is warranted because she's protecting her daughter. It's like, and now it's becoming not about that anymore. You know, because oftentimes with violence, it seems that very quickly, it becomes less about the task at hand of protecting yourself, and then about taking out whatever else you're angry about. That becomes the conduit, right? And then that's yeah. Not the way to go about it.
So yeah, there's really a lot of anger in our world right now. So what you're just saying about, you know, how much is enough? You know, what's the line between protecting yourself and protecting the child? Believe me, I would protect myself. Totally. There's a lot of police violence that's questionable, right? It's like, when is it enough? When does stopping a crime work? And when does it become something else? And I think that's kind of what I'm addressing here. It's like, I'm not saying that you shouldn't protect yourself, but again, it doesn't have to be that way. So, yeah. So being in touch with who we are, what we're feeling, what we're experiencing, being in this moment, recognizing our own anger, where it's coming from, and not giving into it and not letting escalate into something other. It's really sad, you know, there's so much fear. Instead of recognizing that we're all in this together, there's this other. There's always this idea of the other. And that's a threat, as opposed to being part of the landscape that we're in. You know, nature is nature. We're part of all of it. But people don't recognize that in their ignorance. They're caught up in I, me, and mine. And that's where it all happens. There was a reason Buddha pointed out that the poisons were ignorance, greed, and anger. You know, we need the antidotes to those poisons.
I think, speaking of all this anger and stuff in the world, anger is usually, it can sometimes be a symptom of grief and depression.
Yes.
I think it's very fitting that there are so many angry people in the world, because I think it just speaks to the fact that the world is grieving and just need to move through that process of grief. Mm. And that requires a lot of compassion. I feel like, you know, it's easy to respond to anger with more anger, the whole fight fire with fire thing, but the reality is we need to just cool it and sit and just be still for a little bit and work through that anger
and listen.
Yes.
And say, how can I help? You know how quickly anger is diffused when they feel like they're being listened to. There's a great short video about this angry white guy who goes to a Muslim mosque in Minnesota or somewhere. I don't remember where it is. And it's, he becomes part of the mosque. He was going there to blow it up, to bomb it. Now he leads it. How did that happen? As an example. So it doesn't have to be this way. But I felt compelled to talk about violence today, so.
So sometimes I wonder if human consciousness has evolved past the point of being beneficial. Take evolution as just a random process that doesn't mean that, you know, always goes for the good.
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
Well, you're talking about other animals not doing things in anger.
Oh, yeah.
Human consciousness has evolved past that in many ways. And it's helped us, you know, obviously. But, you know, the question is, can you can it evolve too far in the wrong directions and have unintended consequences?
I think what you're talking about, Buddha would call them the skandhas. They're part of what keeps us deluded. In other words, we have a body, right? So then we have these sensations, and then these sensations cause impressions, right? And then we have a history, so we have a memory of these, and then we have consciousness of this happening. You know? So all of that is not to be attached to as that's who you are. That's part of the coming and the going. It's not something that you can cling to and make solid and real, but that's what we attempt to do. So when we talk about evolution, I think we're talking about being solid. And we're not. When we say we're part of everything, we don't mean like, you know, we're orchestrating it. You know, we have big egos. We think we're a lot more important to the universe than we are. I don't know. You know, it's an interesting question, but it's like.
Well, one of the things that often comes up in this, you know, what I was talking about is the, you know, for humans, the 60,000 pound gorilla in the room, which is awareness of death. And humans, it's believed, have a different awareness of, you know, other animals grieve and, you know, they know what death is, but usually when it happens, there's not all this anticipation that humans have.
Right.
I mean, you can look at religion, and one can argue that many of these things are all an outgrowth we're trying to deal with.
Yes.
Advanced knowledge of where we're all heading.
Mm-hmm.
What that makes me think of is the difference between intellect, knowledge, and wisdom. So we might have come far in terms of using our brain a lot, but I think that's quite different from wisdom.
Very good. Good discussion.
What I see the message as is nonviolence, or in Sanskrit, ahimsa, or what, you know, however you want to put it, but the intention to do harm, violence, right? So I thought that the example of the lion and the ox was good, because lion's hungry, and it's the ox's time, and the skirmish happens, and, you know, nature takes its course. But for us, we have more of a capacity for an intention to do harm.
Mm-hmm.
But if something challenging happens and there's lots of energy around it, maybe there's some form of distress or something's going on. It doesn't always mean that there is an intention to do harm.
Right.
And anger itself is, I mean, what's this term anyway? Anger, love, hatred, down the line. You know, it's derivative fear. I think if we were to really investigate the qualities of whatever we think that is, it's really difficult to feel anger. Because, I mean, if you are actually paying very close attention and investigating the qualities of what you're feeling at every moment, then it's hard to express anger. Because you see, oh, there's something challenging for me. I understand, you know, that this, you know, I have this, so do I want to give it to somebody else or just chill out?
Yeah.
It's much easier to chill out. You see it very clearly because it's loud to you.
Correct. That's it. Yep.
For me, there's a big difference between nonviolence and non-action. And not all anger or violence is an externalization when it's internally placed back into one's own body. That anger will destroy other things without it having any influence on the outside. So a non-action isn't the same as a non-violence if that's turned inwards. So how to keep that balance in a way that allows for some type of an action that can help to create alternatives, both within and without, and allow for more space to perceive things with the compassion needed to shift into an actual nonviolence rather than just a non-action.
Very good. Yeah, no, I hear you. So yeah, non-action, nonviolence are not the same thing. But, you know, it's like what Nick said, you know, it's like when you're really in touch with what's happening, you know, it doesn't hold you. So ignorance, greed, and anger don't have a hold on the awakened heart mind. It's always about not holding on because everything is always there. Thinking never stops, making things out of it, intellectualizing, all of that is always happening. It's the attachment, it's the clinging to. But, you know, that's a natural reaction unless you're aware and awake to what your own process is. What's happening? What is this? That's why that's such a wonderful question. What is this? We don't deny anything in Zen. I talk about this all the time. We're not about denying. We're not about stopping thinking or stopping our emotions or anything like that. It's all there. We just know it. I mean, know it in the sense of know ourselves. When you stop because you're going down a road that isn't going to get you anywhere, you see it, you stop. And it happens in our meditation. I mean, our meditation is training. Our meditation is training for what you're talking about, what you're talking about. Our sitting practice is getting in touch with what is this? And it keeps coming up until you acknowledge it, embrace it, and then let it go. If you don't embrace it, you're carrying it. It's in your backpack. It's your karma. You keep creating the same situations over and over again until you acknowledge it, you embrace it. And that's sort of like compassion. That's like being in a loving space with yourself. And that's what peace is. Now, peace isn't something you acquire. It's something you already are. Thank you for coming today. It's very nice to meet you. Are we good? All right. Thank you.